Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 15 and following, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." The days are wicked. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's a beautiful Thursday morning in Texarkana, Texas. I hope you're having a good morning wherever you might be. And we want to talk today about the evil days in which we live. One of my favorite movies growing up, you kind of adopt the movies of your parents, and my parents loved the musical The Music Man. And so we watched that over and over and over again as kids growing up. And, you know, when VCRs became popular and you could get a hold of things like that. And one of the famous songs in The Music Man is the song Trouble. Trouble with a capital T. Trouble with a capital T, as Harold Hill would sing, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, back in the early 1900s in the fictitious town of River City, Iowa, where this story was set, the biggest problem in town, according to the Music Man, was the pool table that they had gotten, and that was going to corrupt the children, and parents needed to be very aware of the corrupting influence of this pool table in town, and that's why they needed to get their kids in the boys' band. And that's how the story goes. Well, Trouble with a capital T is a good title for today as we talk about the evil days in which we live. We are to be careful, the scripture says, how we walk, how we live, and we're not to be in the dark. We're not to walk as unwise men, but as wise, because the days are evil, and we are to make the most of the time that we have on this earth, to be faithful to the Lord as His witnesses. That's what we're here for. You know, you boil it all down. What's the Christian life all about? Well, the Christian life, obviously, fulfilling the greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, and to remember your purpose on this earth, and that is to be His witness. As Jesus told the disciples, Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so the goal of the Christian life is to be a faithful witness, to tell others what you've seen and heard, to witness to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save, to shine and share, as we use those two words, shine, share. We use those two words so often on this program. Shine speaks of your life, how you live your life, that you walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, and you let your light and the way you live shine to people, and then you open your mouth and you tell them about Jesus. When they smell the sweet aroma of the knowledge of the Lord on your life, because you act so differently from the other people that they encounter at work, at school, in the neighborhood, wherever, then you tell them, well, this is why Jesus makes the difference. So we are living in a time when the days are evil. And the Apostle Paul said, the last letter he ever wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1, "But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come." And we're living in difficult times. Now, we go back on this radio program, Real Truth for Today, we go back often to Romans chapter 1, because we see Romans 1 just unfold before our eyes. As you look through the news, you just see, okay, professing to be wise, they became fools. You just see this constantly, and especially with people who have big degrees after their names, people in the colleges and universities. They say the most idiotic things. They propose the most ridiculous premises and ideologies. This is good. good, that's good. It's ridiculous. And you ask yourself, you scratch your head and you say, how can an educated person really stand there and advocate for biological men participating in women's sports? How can a person show up on Capitol Hill and when they're asked the very simple question, do you see and recognize a difference between biological men and biological women? And they refuse to answer the question. They act like there is no difference. As Senator Kennedy said, the senator from Louisiana told this one lady, you know, you're really hurting your case because you won't acknowledge what we all know to be true, that there's a difference between men and women, that men are bigger, stronger, faster on average than women. And if you let men play women's sports, you will destroy women's sports. And if you try and say there is no difference, then let's just do away with women's sports and just have sports. And it's for men and women. And if you did that, a woman wouldn't win anything. Those that tried to make the argument that Serena Williams, she's the greatest tennis player who ever lived. And as John McEnroe said, well, she's the greatest woman tennis player who ever lived. And they said, no, why do you say woman? She's the greatest tennis player who ever lived. He said, if she played on the men's circuit, she wouldn't be ranked in the top 750. She would get destroyed by the men. And she herself even admits, I can't play with the men. It's a totally different game. They hit the ball so much harder. And, you know, it's not the same. And so we live in this world where people's minds are so polluted and so corrupted. And that's exactly what the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1. You know, three times in Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, three times in that passage do we read that God gave them over. And so people say, well, I don't want God in my life anymore. And so God says, okay, you don't want me? Then I'm going to give you over. And Romans 1:28 says this, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And then the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us 21 characteristics of this person with a depraved mind. He said they're filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. These are very interesting characteristics. Inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. You think that's a minor thing? That's a major thing. That's listed in these 21 characteristics. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, this is what is so interesting, and as I was looking at Romans 1:28 in the Greek, you find a play on words, and that's why it's good to have Bible software that gives you the Greek. I have kind of an old school software program called eSword, and it has New American Standard, which is what I preach from and use, and it has the Greek and it has the Hebrew. Well, when you look at Romans 1:28, you see that, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and that word to see fit is dokimazo, that's how you pronounce it, dokimazo, which means that they did not deem God worthy. God's not worth my time. I'm not going to acknowledge God because he's not worthy of my time. So when they did that, it says God gave them over to a unfit mind, a depraved mind. And that's that word depraved is adokimos. So it's a play on the words of, they didn't see fit, dokimazo, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, adokimos. Those are connected. And that word means rejected, worthless, useless, castaway, reprobate. It's a mind that doesn't function anymore. And God says this, when you use your mind to say, I reject God, Lord, you're not worthy of my time or my acknowledgement, then God says, okay, well, I'm going to give you over, since you're not using your mind for the truth, I'm going to give you over to a mind that doesn't function anymore. A mind that can't figure out that 2 + 2 = 4. A mind that can't fathom that there are biological men and biological women, and that is a truth that cannot be altered. You know, every cell in a person's body is XY male or XX female. That can't be changed. And that's why I propose, when we talk about this subject, that we cut through all the rhetoric and all the baloney, and we just say, what are your chromosomes? You know, somebody that says, well, these are my pronouns. It's like, who cares what your pronouns? Well, tell me what your chromosomes are. What's your chromosomal makeup? Do you know that? Because when you were conceived, at the point of conception, your chromosomes were fixed, which means your biological sex was fixed, which means you are either male or female, because that's how God created you, either male or female. Now, when we enter into the lunacy of transgenderism, and that's probably the biggest thing that we see with a reprobate, depraved, worthless mind. You make the case that men can be women and women can be men, which is ridiculous. And it's not just men and women. A man can be a woman can be a man. But a boy, this is what's so evil. You know, you take evil to the next level of wickedness. A boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. And so we start influencing young minds. Kids that don't know any different, kids that are, they get caught up in the hype of, look at all the attention I am getting. And social media fuels that, and the mainstream media fuels that, and people will cheer you on. That's exactly what it says in Romans 1:32. And though they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. And kids are given hearty approval in their coming out, so to speak, to say, hey, I'm really, you know, I'm a 9-year-old biological boy, biological male, but I really feel like a female, and so I'm going to start transitioning, and I'm going to take medicine, and I'm going to have surgery, and my life's going to be so wonderful now that I get to live out my true self. And we are participating as a society in destroying young lives. Just destroying, but before they ever get out of the starting gate, we're destroying them. And it is incumbent upon Christians especially, and those who still have a mind that functions. Bill Maher, the big liberal, he still has a mind that functions. He recognizes this is ridiculous. And I heard Joe Rogan, who's a very foul-mouthed individual, but he's got a podcast that millions and millions of people watch. He said this, he's talking about transgenderism. He said, ultimately, it gets solved when people don't accept it anymore. When people say, this is ridiculous. Obviously, a man can't be a woman can't be a man, a boy can't be a girl can't be a boy, because biology tells us, it confirms what the Word of God says, that God made them male and female. Listen, we are in a battle. There is trouble with a capital T going on in our world, and God has called us to be salt and light. He's called us to shine. He's called us to share. He's called us to rescue the perishing, to make a difference in our world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
Here Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. A charitable gift annuity benefits the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. It helps ensure American Family Association is here boldly standing for biblical principles well into the future. And the charitable gift annuity allows you to shore up permanent income for life. Reach out to Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at afr.net.
I have, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
Live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at afr.net.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking about trouble with a capital T. We live in difficult times, and the days are evil, as Paul told the Ephesians. Hey, the days we live in are evil, and if they were evil back when Paul lived, they're even more so today as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ. And so in that same chapter, Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 11, "And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." I don't know if you've watched any of the clips with parents going before the school board. Some of the parents have read what the books in the library, in the kids' libraries, they've just read some of the books. And it is so perverted and so X-rated that the school board has said, you can't say that. And he said, well, the one parent, I can't say that. This is what you're putting in my child's library. This is what they can check out. And it is sickening. And so the Apostle Paul says, hey, don't participate in that, but expose that. And so I ran across a video that was on Twitter, and it is from Benjamin Larrabee. He's the project manager for Turning Point USA, and he was speaking to a school board in Arizona. And you talk about just eviscerating the people on the school board with truth. He is dropping truth bombs, and this is worth a listen.
Several weeks ago, in a vote to allow trans students to use whatever bathroom they wish, You assured us that these policies were perfectly safe, as neither yourself nor law enforcement could provide a single example of any trans student assaulting any girl in any bathroom, in any school, in any state, anywhere at all, in fact. But not to worry, since you couldn't locate them, I took the trouble to. See, Loudoun County, Virginia, where last year, under district policy, a trans student was allowed into the women's bathroom where he assaulted a girl. To cover it up, they moved him to another school where he did it again. See, Irvine, California last month, where a trans student entered the women's locker room and flashed the girls there. When they confronted him, he mercilessly beat them. This happened again in Gwinnett County, Georgia. This happened again in Oklahoma City. This happened again in Ohio, where a trans man was allowed to use the locker room where he was arrested for flashing little girls. The judge dropped the charges after he ruled that this man was too fat for them to see anything. Last month, in this city, a man using they-them pronouns in a scene straight out of Silence of the Lambs hunted down and killed a female jogger because he, quote, wanted to look just like her. And before you say that these are anecdotal evidence, just note that in a survey of trans inmates in federal prisons, half were convicted of sexual assault and 90% were convicted of violent crimes, well above the general prison population. Now, it should also be noted that in each of these cases, each of these perpetrators had either changed their pronouns, had undergone transition, or had received gender-affirming therapy and accommodations thereof. Why is this important to note? Probably for the same reason we recognize as a society that you do not affirm that people with anorexia can be healthy in any way. You do not affirm that somebody with schizophrenia is hearing voices. And you do not affirm that somebody in a manic episode is having great ideas. Because when you leave somebody to languish in their false mental state, i.e. men who think they are women, they will inevitably lash out and harm themselves and those around them. Hurt people hurt other people. But I don't want to pretend and have the hubris to think that I'm going to be the one to change your mind. I'm happy to share any and all of these examples with you. But you will most likely leave here tonight believing that men can become women, affirming care works, and that you made the right vote. But you will no longer be able to look into the eyes of your constituents and honestly say that you are unaware of the assaults that inevitably take place when we declare to women, you have no right to privacy. Thank you very much.
So that was Benjamin Larrabee, project manager for Turning Point USA, as he spoke to the school board in Peoria, Arizona. And I just thought what he shared with them is just truth. And he shared it in a very straightforward way. He wasn't disrespectful, but he was very direct. And I appreciated what he had to say. And, you know, people hiding behind this, well, I didn't know any of that stuff. Well, they're lying because, it's like a thief that says, well, I can't find a policeman. Yeah, because you don't want to find him. And a lot of people are like that. Well, I don't know about that because they're not searching. They're not looking. They're not doing their homework. They're not being honest about things. I got upset during the COVID pandemic with doctors who just accepted the fact that, oh, this vaccine is good and fine and right and everybody needs to get it and it's the best thing since sliced bread and you'll never get COVID if you have that. All that stuff was a lie and it's been exposed as lies. And it's like, why isn't the medical community being more critical about this and looking at it under a microscope, so to speak, and not just accepting what the government says about it? And so these people on the school board that just, yeah, we don't know anything about that. Everything is wonderful because that's the talking point they gave us. They can't hide behind that lie any longer. And this guy exposed them. He did exactly what the scripture says in Ephesians 5. Don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now listen, as Christians, we are to help those who cannot help themselves. We're to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. That's why it is biblical and it is right for a Christian to stand up for the unborn, because the unborn can't speak for themselves. The unborn would never give a testimony saying, yeah, I think it's good to kill us. They would say, no, let us live. And so we speak for the unborn. We also need to speak for the kids who don't know better on this issue of mutilation of their, you know, their sex and taking these hormones and all this terrible, horrible stuff that they're doing. We have to speak up for them. We have to intervene and say, you don't understand what you're doing. What you are getting ready to do is irreversible, and it will change your life forever. As Chloe, the girl that has been on Twitter and talk shows and things like that, a beautiful girl that took all these hormones, tried to be a man, and now came to her senses. And she says with tears, why didn't someone intervene? Why didn't somebody protect me? I didn't know what I was doing. I was 14 years old. And a 14-year-old is not able to make, or at that time, I think she was 12 when she started moving in that direction. Somebody needed to stand up and say, you don't understand what you're doing, and I'm going to protect you. Now, you probably have heard about the movie with Jim Caviezel that came out on July the 4th. It's called Sound of Freedom. It's a true story about Tim Ballard, a former government agent who rescued kids from sex slavery in Colombia. Well, he did this. Tim Ballard did an interview with Jim Caviezel, and he was talking about what he saw, what he studied, what he experienced in the child sex trafficking ring, and it is eye-opening. You talk about exposing the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Well, that's what he did. Listen to this clip.
Just yesterday, two of the guys were convicted in Ecuador because it led us to Ecuador, a child sex hotel, these pedophiles from Holland and set up. But we'll get into that another time, okay? But the point I'm making is I had to study their literature. This was a political platform. This was a political party. And what I started recognizing is I named them the, I don't know, I call it the pedophile network doctrines. Okay, yeah. They include things like separate children from parents because parents are a bad influence. The state knows best. Sexualize kids. Let them see pornography. Two.
Karl Marx.
Three, take God out of education because that just gets in the way. And kids, consent, consent, consent. Children can consent to anything. At 12 years old, they should be able to vote. They should be able to do anything. Now, what am I seeing here? My stomach is getting sick as I'm reading this. I read this every day. It's the woke left agenda. I'm not saying that they're colluding or talking. It doesn't matter. It's the same dark source. But they are pedophiles are sitting back right now going, we've been pushing this agenda for decades. And now we don't have to push anymore because the left is taking care of it for us in America. In America. And this whole trans voice on children. You know, again, I'm libertarian. Adults, do what you want. I'll fight for your right to do whatever you want. Okay? In terms of adult. I'm talking about children. Yeah. And what they're saying is children can consent to having their bodies filled with a chemical that will destroy the reproductive system. Yeah. They can consent to ripping apart their genitalia. Like, this is insanity.
This is insanity, and it is, because people have been given over. They didn't see fit to acknowledge God any longer, so God gives them over to a worthless, depraved, corrupt, castaway, rejected mind, a reprobate mind, and they can't add 2 plus 2, and they continue to hold onto a lie, even when it's exposed as this is a lie, they continue to hold to it. And as it says in Romans 1, as we read that with the list of the 21 characteristics of these people with a reprobate mind, it says that they're haters of God. Haters of God. They hate God. They hate His word. They hate His ways. They hate His laws. So they try to create a God in their own image. And they try and say, well, we reject this about God. So our God would never do this. Our God would never judge. Our God would never condemn. I was like, well, hey, newsflash, your God doesn't exist. God is who he is. And so they're haters of the true God. John MacArthur says that about a lot of pastors that don't like the fact that God judges sin. They don't like the fact that God rained Sodom and Gomorrah, or rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, those two other smaller cities that don't get the play that Sodom and Gomorrah do. They were destroyed also. They were the cities in the plain. They were destroyed also when the Lord rained down fire and brimstone on the wickedness of those people. And it says in 2 Peter that that was done as an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. And we need to remember God is holy, 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 and God will judge sin. And we need to fear him. As one person, I think it was Jim Caviezel, who said, you know, people today, they fear the devil, but they don't fear God. And Jesus said, hey, don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's the one to whom you need to fear, because God is a consuming fire. It is a terrifying thing, the scripture says, to fall into the hands of the living God. And so we are called, as Christians, we're called to not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but to expose them. We're called to speak the truth in love. We're called to be faithful to the Lord Jesus and to his word, to be faithful to the true God that we know from Scripture, and to expose the lies, and to stand in the gap for the land that the Lord wouldn't destroy it, and to stand up for kids who don't know any different, who don't know any better. And this is a pet peeve of mine, but when pastors don't take the opportunity to speak the truth from the pulpit about these issues that everybody's talking about, that is infiltrating the minds and hearts of kids from a young age, and they don't tell the truth. They just, oh, that's too controversial. I don't want to touch that subject. Where are kids going to get the truth? Where are parents going to get the truth if they're not getting it from their pastor? If the churches are silent on this issue that is so important, I know it's controversial. Truth is a controversial thing to people because, as the old saying goes, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And when you hate God and when you hate his truth, as we present the Lord for who he truly is, people are going to get mad at that. Well, we want a God who's just a big ball of mush that just kind of winks at sin, that we can live any way we want and it's okay. We want to just ride the fence. I tweeted something from Jim Caviezel the other day, and he was talking about the fact that the devil owns the fence. I learned that in college. The devil owns the fence. Hey, you're either all in with the Lord or you're not, but you can't ride the fence because the devil owns the fence. And if you're a spiritual compromiser, you need to recognize that fact and get off the fence and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be all in for you. And I want my life to make a difference. I want to stand in the gap. I want to pray for the land. I want to speak the truth in love. And if it costs me, friends, so be it. If it costs me my job, so be it. If it costs me my freedom, so be it. If it costs me my life, so be it. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, as Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about trouble with a capital T, the days in which we live. The days are evil, and we don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but we expose them, and we shine the light. Listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your phone calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I would love to talk to you about this subject, to answer any questions you may have, or to hear a comment from you. And this is really, really important. This is where we're living today. And this is, we are on earth for such a time as this, and God wants to use you and use me as his witnesses, as his ambassadors, to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hi, I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And we'd like you to join us for an all-inclusive event we call AFA at the Ark.
First annual?
Who knows? It's certainly the first time, anyway. It's a mini conference, and you could potentially stay with us in the same hotel, ride with us on the same bus, eat with us in the same dining room.
Help us keep track of our kids.
That could be very helpful. The event is October 26th and 27th, and we'll tour together, worship together, have panel discussions with our family and Wesley and Walker Wildman's families. We'll even have a special presentation by Ken Ham, CEO of Answers in Genesis.
The Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel has blocked a limited number of rooms for us at a discounted rate, with several meals included. You can register, book your room, and learn more at marriagefamilylife.net.
That's marriagefamilylife.net. And we hope to meet you at the first ever AFA at the Ark. I hope to see you there.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here. And I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about trouble with a capital T. We obviously stole that from the famous song that Professor Harold Hill, played by Robert Preston, shared and sang in the movie The Music Man. And trouble in that day was a pool table. Seems pretty mild. Trouble in our day is perversion that has just spread like a broken sewer pipe across America and across the world, and it's destroying lives. And just any time a person, I tell people this all the time, listen, anytime you walk away from the Lord's will, the Lord's word, the Lord's ways, it's a road that leads in the same direction. It always goes to the pigsty. The prodigal son left the father. Where does he end up? At the pigsty. A sin will always take you to the pigsty. The old expression, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. That is sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And the wages of sin is death. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It's the same every single time. And so we need to recognize, hey, where you find satisfaction in life is with the Lord, is doing what he says to do. His ways are right concerning everything. And so as Christians, we're to walk in the light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But here's the wonderful thing. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship, us with God. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You and I are called to walk in the light with the Lord and to call others to the light. And Jesus said, hey, the world is not going to like that. This is the witness, the Lord says in John 3. Let me look it up and get it right. I go a lot off memory, but sometimes my memory's not all that great. This is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. And so we're called to shine the light. And some people are not, the majority, not going to like it. But there are some that will respond. You think about your own life before you came to Christ. If nobody had shared the light with you and nobody had witnessed to you about Jesus, you'd still be in the darkness. I'm so thankful for the people who witnessed to me and how God used their witness to open my eyes to the truth, to convict my heart, to show me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus. And as a 17-year-old high school senior, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I surrendered my life to him, and he saved me and changed me. And I was sinking, as the song says, deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Well, we're going to the phone lines as we've been talking about trouble, and we're talking about trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for perversion. And so we would love to take your calls, 888-589-8840, as we have been talking about this subject. And we have Jim on the line from, where are you from, Jim? South Dakota. All right. Man, I got to get better glasses. Jim, welcome to the program.
Okay, here's my comment. As Christians, God gave us a lot of tools in our toolbox to fight perversion. The justice system and law enforcement is one of them. Now, there are those honorable judges out there that will hold up these child pornography laws. There is a website or a YouTube channel called Grassroots Army, for those that haven't ever heard of it, and it mainly deals with this school board situation. And it has parents, grandparents coming up reading the books like you were discussing earlier in your show. One of the episodes they had, it was a small town mayor that pretty much took 5 minutes of the less than that, and he, bottom line, he said, look, I spoke with the local judge, and this stuff you're pushing is child pornography. You have two choices. You can either resign today, or you will be arrested for child pornography, each and every one of you. You have until the end of this meeting to decide. And that is one of the tools that Christians, if we actually push it, we can do that. If you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. That's a good comment, Jim. Well, we need more people to stand up and speak up and to not go along with this. You know, this idea that, you know, just thinking about pronouns. Well, we've had people in the big wigs in the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, to love your neighbor, use their preferred pronoun. It's like, I'm not going to enter into that person's lunacy. It's like saying, and the guy, Benjamin Larrabee, as he spoke to that woke school board, he said, listen, you wouldn't say to the anorexic, you're healthy. That's not love. That's cruelty. You need to let that person know, hey, listen, we love you too much to let you keep going down this path. You are mentally sick. You are believing lies, and those lies will destroy you. And so just, I think most people would agree on that one. Hey, if somebody's starving himself to death, thinking he or she is too fat and continues to starve themselves to death, it's not love to pat them on the back as they keep going down that road. It's love to intervene and say, no, you don't see things correctly. That's what we need to do in the transgender movement. And we need to just say, stop the insanity, the old phrase from Susan Powder, come to your senses, stop the insanity. And when I think about coming to a person's senses, I think about the prodigal son. He had to come to his senses. He's at the pigsty longing to eat the pig food. And until he came to his senses, he didn't realize, hey, I need to get my life right. I need to get back and go to my father and confess my sin. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And let me just say, we need to be praying that people would come to their senses. The Bible talks about that, having been held captive to do the devil's will, that they would come to their senses, that they would see. You know what's so sad, just like that that girl Chloe, she came to her senses after she took the drugs, after she, you know, did terrible things to her body. And then it's like, okay, well, how do you reverse that? You know, some things you can't reverse. And you're a young person and you can't have children, and because you've mutilated yourself, you've poisoned yourself. Those are terrible, horrible things. So, Jim, I appreciate your comments. We need to get involved. We need to hold people's feet to the fire. We need to say, hey, the law needs to be enforced. And Dr. Chris Schroeder and I are going to be on the program tomorrow talking about God and government and how one of the responsibilities that God gives government is to punish evildoers, to enforce the law. If you don't enforce the law, and you say evil is good and good is evil, your whole society falls apart. Then it just becomes dog eat dog. It just, you better get a gun. You got to be, it's the Wild West. And you got to protect yourself because nobody, the cavalry is not coming. And people commit crimes. And if they get arrested, they're back on the street committing the crime that afternoon. And there is no punishment for it. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. If we do not punish evildoers, we're just going to unleash all sorts of evil on our land. We open up Pandora's box of evils, and people will figure out, hey, I can do this and not face consequences. Well, you may not face them from man, but you're definitely going to face them from God one day, and you're going to have to stand before the Lord one day and give an account. And as it says in Hebrews, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. Well, God bless you, Jim. Thank you for calling in today, and thank you for that comment. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment about this. And, you know, one thing that we always want to temper. So you have people that are pushing a godless, evil, satanic agenda and ideology. Just as that man Tim Ballard said, it's the pedophile network doctrine that's being pushed and promoted, and the woke agenda is picking that up. Hey, we're all for that too. We're all for 12-year-olds making their own decisions about things that will affect them for the rest of their lives. And so we go hard against those pushing a godless satanic agenda. But then we remember those who are caught up in this, people who are believing the lie. They're not necessarily pushing the lie. They're believing the lie, and they're the ones that are destroying themselves. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so you have some out there who are deceivers, and you have some that are being deceived, and then you have a combination of those who are deceiving, and then they're being deceived at the same time. I think a lot of false prophets are like that. They start believing their own baloney, and they really think, oh, I really think I am doing God's will. You know, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. He thought he was doing the Lord's will. He thought he was eradicating Christianity, was doing service for God. And I finally came to his senses when he had that experience with the Lord on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Paul came to his senses and he surrendered his life to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? And that was his surrender. And Saul of Tarsus, the enemy of Christianity, became Paul the Apostle, I believe the greatest Christian who has ever lived. And so we remember those who are caught up in this. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We have tons of grace and love for those who are being deceived. And we speak the truth very boldly and strongly to those who are deceiving. We call them out. We expose them because they are enemies of the cross. Well, we have Doreen on the line from Illinois. Doreen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, hi, Pastor. I am so thrilled to be able to get through to you. I have a 22-year-old daughter who is going to be giving birth this month with a man who has fathered two other children, has not taken care of them, has not offered to marry my daughter, and she's still engaging with him physically. And it's about tearing our family in two because my husband and I don't believe in celebrating her pregnancy. Now, we will love that baby like nobody's business, but my son went behind my back with his wife, and they're throwing her a virtual shower, never consulted me about what we are planning. We were planning on having a shower for her after the baby's born to celebrate the baby. Mm-hmm. But we are just brokenhearted, and we are being made to look like something's wrong with us. Mm-hmm. Like my son said, why can't you give her a shower? And I said to my husband, it's just like celebrating her sin. I mean, mm-hmm. she was with him when he was still living with the mother of his second child. And there's nothing good about the relationship. And I guess I just would love for you to comment as firmly. I feel it's just as important topic as it is a transgender or whatever else. It's like I don't want to celebrate her sin.
Right, right. Well, I'm with you, Doreen. I couldn't do that either. And here's the scripture for that, 1 Corinthians 13, about real love. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. That's why you can't go to a gay wedding, because that's celebrating sin. That's celebrating unrighteousness. And you can celebrate the baby. It's not the baby's fault, but you can't celebrate how the mom and dad came together and living in sin. And that's not something to celebrate. That's something to grieve. And so I would just pray for your daughter and this man, that they would come to their senses and the Lord would bring conviction into their hearts to show them, hey, you are barking up the wrong tree, and we love this child, we will love this child, but we're not going to celebrate your sin, because the Lord doesn't do that. So thank you for calling in, Doreen. That's not an easy issue at all, but it's one that God will give you grace. Well, thanks for listening today. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and He will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.